Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Professional boxing tops the September 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And for more hard-hitting commentary, we're joined once again by our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in New York City. That's where on Saturday night, Danny Garcia will trade punches with Sean Porter for the vacant WBC welterweight title. The former WBC champion, Keith One Time Thurman, says this is one of the best matchups of the year. Your thoughts?
This fight Saturday night at the Barclays Arena may end up becoming a contender for fight of the year because these two warriors, they bring action. When they bring action, they will come with knockouts or knockdown. So the fans will expect nothing less than an action fight.
I understand it's not just the WBC title belt at stake, Nnamdi, but another belt. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, this is the first time this will ever happen in the fight game. The WBC have now put on the table something called WBC trainers belts. Understand, both fighters on both sides, Porter and Garcia, are trained by their own father. So if Garcia wins, Angel Garcia will get WBC trainer's belt. If Porter wins, Kenny Porter will get WBC trainer's belt, which is really nice, though. But it may come with sanction fees, Sonny.
Mm.
You know these guys, man. They find a way to make money.
Nnamdi, I know you've talked about the welterweight division being one of the hot divisions in professional boxing. The winner of Garcia-Porter, who would they possibly fight next?
Sonny, this division is loaded with superstars. We're talking about Terence Crawford. We're talking about Amir Khan, Errol Spence. The winner of this fight can either fight Keith Thurman or fight Errol Spence because WBC mandates that the winner of this fight must give Keith Thurman a fight because that was his belt that was taken away from him from inactivity. So Keith Thurman will get a crack at it, but the money fight will be against Errol Spence.
September 15th in Las Vegas, the Canelo Triple G rematch. Nnamdi, last time we chatted, you said there wasn't much buzz for this rematch. Are things picking up?
Not really, Sonny, because, you know, the fight fans have not forgotten Canelo tested positive for clenbuterol, and they still hold that against him. Also, they decided not to go on a press tour to promote the fight. And the cable network that's putting on this fight, HBO, have faded away from boxing. HBO used to be the giant of boxing. So what we see now, really no buzz. And Canelo doesn't speak English, I'm sorry to say. And Triple G's English is so-so. So the mainstream media have not really, really jumped on this fight. So we don't know if it's going to be like 2 million buys or that, but it will sell out. The gate will sell out. I will be ringside, Sonny.
Well, in terms of buzz and excitement, Nnamdi, an African fighter, Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe, creating a lot of buzz after his one-round knockout of the Japanese fighter Otake. Recap that performance for our VOA listeners, Nnamdi.
Sonny, 2 minutes, 18 seconds in the first round. Perfect uppercuts, left hooks, monster left hooks now I was talking about, overhand right hand. All this in the arsenal of this young African that brings to us action. One round, it was all over. Right there, all the contenders are on the run as we speak, Sonny.
Well, in terms of those contenders, Nnamdi, challengers, who will Dogbe fight next? I read one report that he wants to fight two more times in 2018.
He wants to fight two more times. There's TV dates there. He's doing it on ESPN. Like we said, the ball is doing it. Millions of viewers watching. Jesse Magdaleno, the one he took the belt from, challenged him before the fight. The WBA super bantamweight champion talked about fighting a unification fight with Dogbe, but After that one round knockout, fire on the mountain, everybody on the run. Nobody has mentioned his name again.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Nnamdi, let's move up to the heavyweight division. A bizarre incident recently in the U.S. city of Minneapolis, Minnesota, which hosted a fight involving the Nigerian Efe Ajagba, the Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year, and the American Curtis Harper. What happened, Nnamdi?
What we witnessed has never happened in the fight game. Harper decided to walk out of the ring right before the fight. Normally, when a guy decides not to fight, they do it at a weigh-in or do it at what we call the rules meeting. But just before the referee said, let's get it on, he walked out of the ring and just walked straight to the dressing room.
Why did he do that, Nnamdi?
He was not given the final contract, not only which is called a signed contract. And not only that, he was told that this fight will not be on TV, so the deal was for $6,000 for a six-round fight, which to some people say, oh, it's a lot of money. But $6,000 for an off-TV fight, and then you get into the ring, you see all these TV cameras, that's no deal, Sonny.
What about Ajagba? What was his purse?
Well, Ajagba gets more money than $6,000. If I were to be in the position to be Harper's manager, I will be looking at the lowest, not less than $10,000, Sonny, because it's a TV fight, and you're fighting Ajagba, who is 6-0 with 5 big knockouts, which means any mistake by my man, he will get knocked out. So we do what we call, we cash out.
This might have been Curtis Harper's biggest fight in terms of social media presence, Nnamdi. How many views on YouTube?
Sonny, as we speak, there's more than 1 million views on YouTube. Not only that, this was all over the world, on CNN, on all the local sports shows. Now, Ajagba is known for scaring the man out of the ring, you know?
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Nnamdi later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football, teams across the continent are getting ready for the resumption of qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. In one of the games, the Cranes of Uganda will host the Taifa Stars of Tanzania on Saturday. Ahmed Hussein is a spokesman for the Federation of Uganda Football Associations. Reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj asked him about the preparations by the Cranes.
I believe the national senior team, the Uganda Cranes, is very much prepared and looking forward to collecting a positive result against the Tanzanian Stars on Saturday.
When you say a positive result, what do you mean? A draw would be sufficient?
No, a draw at Nambole Stadium is never sufficient. Of course, if they ever got a draw at Nambole, they're always very disappointed. The players walk onto the turf at Nambole to make sure that the fans go back home when they're happy. A positive result is that gives us extra points. And we're talking of extra points, that is 3 points. Yes.
This is the first home match after, of course, an away win against Cape Verde. How important is this match?
It's an important match because, one, we want to see the national senior team go back to the AFCON finals. 39 years of waiting came to an end in 2016. We're now on a journey that we believe we can qualify. Remember, in 2015, we set out a program that we call Cameroon Project 2019, and we believe that the dream is on. Having won our first game away against Cape Verde, we're taking on Tanzania, who are neighbors in the East African Derby. We know each other very well, and the boys exactly know exactly what is at stake. So when we talk about picking up results, positive results, this is exactly, and will be sweeter for them and the fans when the Uganda Cranes beat Tanzania on Saturday.
The Tanzania team you're talking about, of course, the neighbors, is actually coached by one of the experienced people in names of Emmanuel Munike, who was a former Nigerian international. He played for various clubs in Africa and even in Europe. And he actually coached the Nigeria Under-17, which was one of the successful teams in Africa. How prepared are you to counter his expertise and ensure that Uganda gets the 3 points you're talking about?
The coach has got the expertise. The players will deliver the job on the pitch. And we trust the team that the coach has named, the final 24. And we also have a very good coach himself, Sebastian De Zobre. When you look at his track record, the clubs that he handled before he took over the national team of Uganda, is a fantastic record. So we are going to see a battle of two coaches with expertise on African football. Of course, one a former international, that is Emmanuel Amunike. High respect, of course, for him. And then we also believe that our coach has got that expertise and tactics to deliver and get the 3 points on Saturday.
What are some of the players? We have Dennis Onyango, the goalkeeper, who plays for the Mamelodi Sundowns in South Africa. We have other players that play in Europe and others that play locally. What are some of the players that you'd say the Ugandan Cranes is going to rely on if they are to get the 3 points you're talking about?
I don't want to look a bit one-sided, but all the 24 players, I can tell you, that the coach will name on the starting lineup, that is 11, and then the substitutes will be up to the task. I'm very sure about that.
How important would this qualification be that Uganda last? You mentioned the Uganda participating after 30 years and then participated again in the just last finals in Gabon. How important is this qualification if Uganda is to qualify?
Qualification to AFCON comes with a bigger statement. When we qualified after 39 years, brighter things have since happened for the national senior team. That, of course, led us to being the number one football nation by CAF during the CAF Glow CAF Awards. So we believe that getting back to the biggest platform where the big boys of African football are rubbing shoulders give you the chance also maybe to market your players, to sell the brand of football in your country. When you mix or rub shoulders with the biggest boys on the African continent, that's where we believe Uganda Cranes is supposed to be.
Uganda's been catalyzed by, I would say, defensive game and one goal scored, two goals probably. Not many goals are scored by Uganda Cranes. And with the new coach, De Sabre, what should fans expect on Saturday?
The coach believes in a philosophy of attacking football. He has promised to show that on the team. With the players that he has on Saturday, I think the Tanzanians will attest to that.
Thanks very much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, too, for giving us the opportunity to talk to you.
That's Ahmed Hussein, a spokesman for the Federation of Uganda Football Associations. And he spoke with reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinge in the capital, Kampala. In the group standings, Uganda leads with the maximum 3 points after edging the Cape Verde Islands 1-0 last year. Lesotho and Tanzania have 1 point apiece, with the Islanders from Cape Verde, they're at the bottom with no points. The top two teams in the group will qualify for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Our VOA listeners will remember this will be the first Nations Cup to expand from 16 to 24 teams. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, defending champion Rafael Nadal has survived a grueling match to advance to the semifinals at the U.S. Open in New York. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Rafael Nadal sent out this tweet in the wee hours of Wednesday morning. On my way back to the hotel now, amazing match against a great player and great guy. And thank you, New York, for the amazing atmosphere and support. That amazing match against Austrian Dominique Thiem was an epic battle, ultimately decided in a fifth set tiebreak. The game went to Nadal, and he had just enough gas left to simply throw his head back and raise his arms in celebration. Nadal had a surprisingly shaky opening set where he failed to win a single game. 4 hours and 49 minutes later, an exhausted Nadal talked to reporters about the match.
It had been a very tough start for me. After that first set, then the match became more normal, tough match against a great opponent. Yeah, have been a physical demanding because the conditions have been tough out there too. Not crazy, but tough. And yes, I played against a great opponent. He played a good match. Sorry for him. He's a top guy, being honest. No, he's one of the best guys on tour.
The 32-year-old said he appreciates any chance he can get to play in tough matches against a difficult opponent.
Of course, tennis is not forever. And of course, you know that your chances to play these kind of matches every time are less, remain less chances. But in some way, being honest, I had a very tough injury in 2005. So I had the chance to really appreciate all the things that happened to me during my career, because I had in different moments tough injuries. So when you are back, you always appreciate what the things that happens and have more value, personal value, when you come from tough moments.
And Nadal says the match has prepared him for the semifinals.
I will have to play at my highest level to keep having chances of success, and I'm focused on trying to make that happen. I think last three sets I improved, I increased my level, and was a step forward for me in the dynamic of the tournament. So I did it. I hope to continue that way.
Dominic Thiem has beaten Nadal three times in 10 previous meetings, and he kept the defending champion under constant pressure throughout the match. Afterwards, Thiem said their match at this tournament was one of the truly great ones.
I would say the first really epic match I played. I played some good ones before, but not that long against the great guys and on the Grand Slam stage, so I'm happy that I did this for the first time, even if it went the wrong way. But of course, now I'm devastated a little bit. But in a few days, I will look back and will remember how great it was to play in front of a packed Arthur Ashe this great match.
Nadal extended further praise to the 25-year-old Austrian, saying youth is on his side and he still has plenty of time to win tournaments. However, Nadal is still in the hunt for his fourth U.S. Open title. He will next face third seed Juan Martín del Potro. The Argentine advanced to the semis after his win against American John Isner. After the match, del Potro said his focus is not on winning the title.
I think it doesn't matter the final result in the tournament. I just enjoying playing tennis again. I'm enjoying a lot of the crowds like this. I like to play big battles with the other guys, and that makes me feel alive again, you know. And after all my problems, I think it's time to celebrate these kind of things. And I love this sport, and I love the competition, and I'm very proud to be here again.
Del Potro last faced Nadal in the quarterfinals at this year's Wimbledon tournament, where Nadal came out the victor. Del Potro was asked if he's ready for round two.
It could be another big battle as the Wimbledon match was, and of course I like to play always with the number one of the world. That's a matter of the tournament or the conditions or the weather. I just have the chance to play the greatest on this sport, and it's amazing for me.
Their match will be played on Friday. On the women's side, Serena Williams fought back from a sluggish start in the first set to claim a straight set victory over eighth seed Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic. Williams made 22 unforced errors in the opening set, but shored up her strength to win the last four games. Afterwards, Serena spoke on how she keeps the fire in her game.
I'm here to do my best, and I don't have 10 more years. At least I don't think so. I said that 10 years ago. So I don't think I have another 10 years of, you know, having opportunity to be able to play and win championships. And so every match really means a lot to me. And I kind of go out there and I just do the best that I can.
And she said she's taking it one match at a time.
I've been a couple of steps away at the last Grand Slam, so I'm definitely not ahead of myself. And I still know that no matter whether I'm in the semifinals or the finals, I have a really long way to go to win that. And again, that proved to be true at Wimbledon. So I'm just taking it one at a time, literally.
Serena's semifinal match will be played on Thursday. Her opponent will be Latvia's Anastasia Sevastova, who advanced to the semis after her straight set win against defending champion American Sloane Stephens. Stephens spoke to reporters after the match and said she was simply off her game.
I just really couldn't get anything to connect. Even when I did have my break opportunities, I just wasn't playing the points well at all. Like, mentally, physically, it just wasn't connecting. It just was a really tough day. And then the heat doesn't make it any much more fun.
A disappointing end for Sloane Stephens. We're getting closer to the championship matches, so stay tuned, sports fans. More tennis results tomorrow. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. The Women's National Basketball Association Finals will tip off Friday night in the northwestern U.S. city of Seattle, Washington. That's where the top-seeded Seattle Storm will host the Washington Mystics in Game 1 of the best-of-five championship series. Seattle beat the visiting Phoenix Mercury Tuesday night 94-84 to win the best-of-five series 3-2. And Washington ousted the host Atlanta Dream 86-81 to win that semifinal series in the maximum 5 games. This marks the first time the Mystics have advanced to the WNBA Finals. The Seattle Storm, meanwhile, they're bidding for their third WNBA championship after winning titles in 2004 and 2010. A sad note now in African athletics. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers former World Half Marathon champion Paul Koech of Kenya, who died at age 49. Athletics Kenya says Koech died Monday after a short illness. It did not release any more details. Athletics Kenya describes Paul Koech as a great track, cross-country, and road racing athlete. The International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, also paid tribute to Paul Koech, saying it's deeply saddened to hear of his death. Paul Koech was a major in the Kenyan Armed Forces and a member of the Athletics Kenya Executive Committee at the time of his death. His longtime friend and teammate, Paul Turgat, says it's beyond belief that Koech is no longer alive. Turgat says, and I quote, "He was firm, never believed in any shortcuts. This is very painful." Paul Koech was a 3-time Kenyan cross-country champion, an impressive feat in a highly competitive running nation. He often got the better of Paul Turgat at the Kenyan National Championships, but he never managed to win the coveted world cross-country title. He did win an individual silver behind Turgat and the team gold medal with Kenya at the cross-country world championships in 1998. Paul Koech, dead at the age of 49. And that wraps up the September 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently announced additional assistance to support achieving the goals outlined in the Bilateral Development Objectives Assistance Agreement between the U.S. and Nigerian governments, signed in 2015. $25 million will strengthen good governance by supporting state governments' efforts to bolster Nigeria's open government partnership commitments to improve transparency and fight corruption. An additional $1.5 million will support a healthier, more educated population in targeted states through the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, also known as PEPFAR, for a total of $26.5 million in additional assistance. The additional new funding brings the total U.S. government assistance provided under the five-year Development Objectives Agreement to $1.1 billion. USAID is also working with federal and state health ministries to build stronger health systems with the aim of guaranteeing equitable access to quality health care services nationwide. USAID collaborated with Nigeria's Ministries of Budget and National Planning, Health, Agriculture, Power, and Education, as well as state-level government counterparts, to structure the Bilateral Assistance Agreement, which runs through 2020. The United States believes that as the most populous country in Africa, with the largest economy on the continent, Nigeria holds tremendous influence over the future of Africa, Acting Mission Director Aaron Holleran said. USAID is committed to partnering with the government and the people of Nigeria to address its development challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion with Ugandan pop star Bobby Wine on his arrest, detention, and release, and why he came to the U.S. to seek medical attention. Ugandan politics in the spotlight on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.